Proverbs 31 and verse number 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and needy. Ask Heavenly Father that you direct us as we consider these thoughts. We pray that our Savior might be glorified in the process, that we might abstain from those things which might hinder us from serving the Lord properly, being the testimony that we ought to be. We pray, Father, for your will to be done in us and in this society. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this message this evening, Lemuel and His Mom. It's very different from the devotions that we've been having for the last couple of years or so from the book of Proverbs. There are no Proverbs in this passage, Proverbs per se. Like the last chapter, these are not from the lips of Solomon. They originate with someone's mother. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Once again, I remind you that the word prophecy does not always speak about foretelling future things. The word often refers to forthtelling God's word through the ministry of his servants. Sometimes that means looking into the future, and sometimes it just means looking into the face of God. Our first job tonight is to reach some conclusion about these two people, Lemuel and his mother. This is the only place in God's word where Lemuel is mentioned, so we have no help from anyone else in the word of God. But we are clearly told that he was a king. So that limits the number of people that he could be. He is king. Some commentators think that this was good King Hezekiah. Without any explanation as to why. We're told that Hezekiah's mother was the daughter of Zechariah. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse number 1. Was that Zechariah the prophet of God? If he was, then well, that might explain the good genes that Hezekiah had. But there's no biblical reason to make those jumps. Hezekiah, Lemuel, Abijah, his mother, and Zechariah, the prophet. No reason to say that. There are some commentators who suggest that Lemuel was a heathen king, perhaps Chaldean. Their argument is that some of the words used in the first part of Proverbs 31 have Chaldean origins. Okay? But that's hardly conclusive evidence of anything, because we often find words being moved from one language to another, one country to another, often with the same meaning and other derivations, I suppose. And then there is the fact that Lemuel ends with L. This is the Hebrew name for God, or one of the names for God. This name means something like belonging to God, the property of God. This person is the Lord's. Lemuel seems to me to be Hebrew. I agree with the majority of both the Jewish scholars and the Christian scholars who say Lemuel is just the pet name for Solomon. Solomon's mother didn't call him Solomon. Dad called him Solomon, as we read elsewhere in the scripture. And these folks say, without any biblical basis, that this Lemuel is Solomon. Okay? So who was Solomon's mother? After the death of her firstborn, 2 Samuel 12:24 says that David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and 9 months later she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. The name Bathsheba takes us back into some of the lurid history of King David. If you'll remember, Israel at that time was at war with one of her neighbors, the Ammonites. And David was supposed to be, as commander-in-chief of the army, he was supposed to be at the battle site, but he was not. He chose to remain in Jerusalem. And one night, while walking on the roof of his house, probably trying to catch some of the cool breezes of the evening, he saw a beautiful Bathsheba privately bathing over in some other property. He sent orders for her to come to him, and a baby was conceived. David then arranged for Bathsheba's husband to die in battle, and the king made Bathsheba his wife, covering up the sin of adultery. It was wicked.
Yes.
Then, shortly after the birth of this baby, he died. And there's more involved, and I hope that you know some of that story. After the death of her first child, Bathsheba's second child was Solomon. Solomon, the eventual successor to King David. Now, the sin involving that first baby was ultimately David's. He was the sinner. The related sins, the death of Uriah and so on, are all David's sins. Perhaps Bathsheba was indiscreet. Perhaps she was unwise in permitting herself to be seen. But if I have ever accused her of deliberate sin, I withdraw that. The sin was David's. The sin was David's. Other than losing her firstborn son, there is no punishment from God on Bathsheba. The sins belong to David. He was eventually tormented over it all. He repented before God, a genuine repentance before the Lord, and the whole incident probably changed the direction of David's life somewhat. Who is the mother of this Lemuel? Probably, if we get Lemuel correct, then it would be Bathsheba. Now let's go back to the prophecy which Lemuel received from his mom. It contained one thing in two parts. Avoid addiction. Addiction to women and addiction to alcohol. What is the likelihood that David had been under the influence of wine that night when he was walking on the roof of his house? There's no indication for it in the Word of God. None whatsoever. But how often have we seen otherwise sane and self-controlled men give themselves up to sinful passion because they were under the influence of alcohol or some sort of drug? David was a married man, an oft-married man, an overly married man before Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel 3, we read of Ahinoam, Abigail, Maacah, Haggith, Abital, and Eglah. And Michael was not even mentioned, and that's wife number one. Could it be said that David had an evil addiction to women? For women? Where he should have been more than satisfied, there he is walking on the roof of his house and he sees a beautiful woman and he says, I have to have her. Sounds like some sort of addiction. Later, as Bathsheba is raising her little boy Lemuel, she points out some of the problems that there were, some of the problems there may have been, some of the problems there had been in her family. Lemuel, do not give your strength to women. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Moving from a small illustration to the larger, some of you will understand this. Pets put chains around our feet, around our hearts, around our lives. Yeah. When we need to visit friends in Napa, we have to find someone to take care of the beasts, take care of the cats, or the dogs, or the gecko, and the piranhas, and whatever else pets we may have around the house. Having pets means the expense of food, veterinary care, housing from time to time. And twice a day we have to take that lizard out and walk it through the grass so it can, you know, we have to do these things. Having dependents gives us responsibilities. Some of those responsibilities are good. And some of them are hardships. But they're there and we take them because we like our pets. I don't think Mother was thinking of anything physical when she said to her son, give not thy strength unto women. But with every wife or every concubine David added to his household, more restrictions were placed on his ability to do the work that God had called him to do, to rule the kingdom. As more and more children were added to the family, there were more and more taxes laid upon the people in order to support the larger family. Prior to his first marriage, remember David living in the wilderness, fleeing from Saul? The guy was constantly risking his life for this little community over here, or these people over here, or, well, Abigail's husband or whatever. And it didn't bother him at all because he was just David. It was all that there was. He didn't have to worry about a wife. But after his third wife and his 12th child, he may have been a little more cautious to go into battle against the Ammonites. A little more careful, a little slower perhaps, to do what he was supposed to do. And when family decisions were to be made, how often did he hear conflicting opinions from all of his wives? I think the walls ought to be yellow. I think they ought to be beige. No, I think they ought to be blue. And when he preferred a certain wife over others, it got even more complicated. Had there been a family squabble which kept him in Jerusalem that day? He should have gone off with the army, but there was a fight that he had to straighten out. Was David depressed that evening? And so he hit the wine jug too hard. Were there family problems? Give not thy strength unto women, Lemuel, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth your ability to rule well. Sadly, Solomon did not listen to the wise counsel of his mother, if Lemuel is Solomon. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, 1 Kings 11:3. And that verse goes on to say, and his wives turned away his heart. He gave his strength to 1,000 women. 1,000 women. How many children were there? And then the scripture goes on, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. There is one chapter, maybe more than one, that describes the enormous amount of food that had to be supplied to David and his family, or excuse me, Solomon and his family, and those that worked in his court. All of this hindered that man from being the man he was supposed to be. I suppose that no man will have the same degree of problems that David and Solomon had with all of their wives and all of their children. But that doesn't mean that the problem will be any less severe with that one extramarital affair. Women have destroyed men's ministries. I have known people who destroyed their families with pornography. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And then she went on to say something about alcohol. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Elsewhere, the priests were told, do not drink when it's your turn to serve me. Why do our state laws say that drunk drivers should be taken off the street? Is it because we just don't like the way their breath smells? It's because when they drink, they become dangerous to society. They are not able to respond well to problems that might arise while they're driving. Why is it that when police are called to domestic problems, most of the time, one or both parties have been drinking? It's because one or both of those people are not thinking straight, and they have to have someone intervene. The same can be said about most crime. Alcohol is involved. And when kings and congressmen and senators and presidents drink too much, their judgment is perverted. The same applies to everyone else. Amen. No matter what position we might have in the world. Wine, beer, hard liquor, opioids, marijuana, list goes on and on, tend to make people relax, forget their responsibilities, forget their problems. And this is why this mother in Israel talks about giving strong drink to people who are dying. But despite modern Christianity's relaxation when it comes to these drugs, I am not going to join them. When it comes to the dying, there are medicines which can be given in controlled amounts which will help them. A bottle of vodka, a fifth of scotch, a bottle of bourbon will not answer. That is what killed my father after he was involved in a serious car accident. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink. Another reason for my resolve against drugs and alcohol is found in this woman's concluding remarks. Lemuel, open thy mouth for those who cannot speak. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction by the banker, by the villain. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Solomon, as king, you can intervene when it comes to many of your subjects' problems. Judge righteously. Plead the cause of the poor and needy. If these people are in pain because they're being victimized, then step in and punish those who are inflicting this pain. Legalizing marijuana, giving encouragement to the liquor trade, is not going to solve the problem. If the economy is bad, Lemuel, do what you can do to stimulate that economy, to get it going. But another potential solution is to give the gospel to these people in need. There is no greater comfort to people who are suffering than he who is the God of all comfort. Those in need don't need more lotteries. They don't need more sports, more bars, and freer access to depressants, or the opposites. The solution to all the great problems of our society are found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the world needs the gospel. Step in, Lemuel. Do what you can here. What our society needs is more Christian people behaving like Christian people. Be a king, Lemuel. Be a godly king. Bathsheba's advice is good for kings. It's good for priests. And it's good for the average common guy as well. It's not enough, however, to say, hey, don't do that. Stay away from the wicked women. Stay away from the alcohol. We need to move into the New Testament and add, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved from these sorts of things. I might have misused just a little bit, but I think the lesson's been...